All I want is you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whoa, sa-da-da-ba-sha-ta-ta-da-ba-shira. All we want is you, Lord. All we want is you, Lord. Oh, God. Do you have anything to be thankful for today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God changed anything in your life? Hallelujah. Has he delivered you from anything? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come once again into your house as a group. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together, Lord God. Hallelujah. To say thank you, Lord God, to look forward to whatever you'd have us to do and whatever you want to do for us. Now, Lord God, as we go forward with the word today, Lord, we ask that you just fill this room with your angels. Fill this room with your angels. Let us hear what you want us to hear. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, we totally surrender to your will and your way. And we just simply say, have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, music team. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're saved today? Do you remember what it was like before you got saved? Do you remember? So easily we forget. Hallelujah. And so easily we start doing our own thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Is everybody serving the Lord? Amen. Sometimes we wait and we wait and we wait on God. We say, all right, when you going to use me? What you going to do here? But my advice to you is just keep on waiting. Amen. God is always right on time. He's never late. He might be late according to our timetable, but he's never late. Amen. He's right on time. You know, today I want to just start sharing a series of messages called Questions to Examine Yourself. I think it's time for us now to look at ourselves. Not be examined by other people, but look at ourselves. Look at ourselves as Christians. It's easy to give yourself a branding. It's easy to give yourself a title. It's easy to give yourself a description of who you think you are. Hallelujah. But now it's time for you to examine yourself and ask yourself what you really, really got. Amen?
Amen.
What you really, really got. I tell you, I went through that thing of saying the words, you know, in church, but not allowing the spirit of salvation to really come in. And now I know the difference. For the next few weeks, I want to just ask you to start examining yourself and making sure that you're at the, I want to say, and I'm choosing my words, you're at the place where God wants you to be. I'm not talking about physical place. I'm talking about as far as your standards of life, as far as how you're living, as far as how you're walking with God. Take a look at that. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Brother Jonathan is preaching somewhere else today, so we're going to say well done. Have your way. Let the Lord have his way today, Jonathan. God is good all the time. Amen. If you run out of words, let Jesse preach. He's got a lot to say, believe me. You know, we seldom examine ourselves. We're always examining other people. Always looking at, are they saying the right thing? Are they doing the right thing? Are they feeling the right thing? Are they thinking the right thing? Well, it's time to examine ourselves. It is. There are many distractions on planet Earth, as you know and I know. If we're not careful, some of those distractions will get us off course from where God is trying to take us. I know there's been times when I've got off course and had to quickly get back on course. Amen. The world will do that. It'll just take you somewhere else. Let me tell you something. God has always been the one that's making things happen. He's always been about making things happen. I want to take you to our first scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power." Amen. God's all about power. He's all about demonstrating his power. He's always about constantly reminding us who is God. And the fact that is not us. God delights in demonstrating his powers through us, his saints. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to do it every single day. That's what revival is all about. Revival is a demonstration of God's power through changed lives. Amen. If anybody's had their lives changed in here, say amen. Amen. When revival comes, several things happen. When revival comes, people will be convicted to serve God. When revival comes, signs and wonders will be plentiful. When revival comes, and it will, a spirit of unity will overtake God's people. That's us. Amen. Revival brings those kind of changes. I believe revival, listen to me now, good. I believe revival is on the way, but I believe that revival is being delayed because of our communities are filled with the works of the flesh. Let me just say that again. I believe revival is being delayed because our communities are filled with the works of the flesh. Everybody's trying to do what everybody else is doing. You know, I had a revelation the other day. I think we went to one of the fast food places, and it was a little young girl at the cash register. It's a pretty little girl. It was a black girl, pretty little girl, young girl, maybe about 21, 22, something like that. And she had an earring in her nose. And I said, "Goodness almighty, you're so pretty. Why'd you put that earring in your nose?" She said, "Well, everybody's doing it." It wasn't about the earring. Amen. We can't do what everybody is doing. Once again, I'm not talking about earrings, all right? When she said that, it made me realize what time we were living in. We're living in a time when more and more and more people, including Christians, are doing what the world is doing. Here's a secret that we might not realize. Revival is not being delayed by the actions of those outside the church. Revival in this area is being delayed because the church is filled with the works of the flesh. It's almost like it's become a show. It's almost like it's become big business. Are you with me? Amen. Folks are gravitating to where the crowd is, not necessarily where God sent them. They don't even think that way. They don't even think that way. They think, "Well, I mean, who really preaches? Who really do whatever? So the question is, where is God sending you? Some saints think that they can do whatever they want to do, and God will understand. Well, everybody say, well. Well, God does understand, but he does not condone. He doesn't condone the works of the flesh. Of course he understands. Let's list some of these works of the flesh. I'm going to take you to Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. I don't know where we get the idea that the pastor should be more holy than everybody else in the church. Well, you can't do that. You're the pastor. Well, you can't do that because you're saved. Are you with me? All of us are saved. Amen. Hallelujah. What restrictions apply to your pastor, your restrictions apply to you. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 19 through 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he starts to list some things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying. When you envy somebody, you're saying, I'm not satisfied with God doing with me. I want what they got. Envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, things like that. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not, everybody say shall not,
shall not,
shall not, hallelujah, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What are you saying here? He's saying it's not about going to church. See, if these things exist in the church, then we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not part of the problem. Look at somebody and say, it's time for a closer look.
It's time for a closer look.
Ah. Oh, God. I'm not putting any requirements on anybody. That Bible is not my book. It's God's book. And he left us here so there would be no doubt as to what he wanted and what he believed. I believe that God wants us to examine ourselves and rid our churches of any works of the flesh. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Folks could be sitting right here in this building, listen, every Sunday, and still doing stuff that draws them away from God instead of toward God. God says, it's over. You and I are living in the last days, whether we understand that, believe that or not. And we're going to see things just wrap up fast, the good as well as the bad. So you and I have to set an example for the world. Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
One of the ways for us to do this is to examine Jesus' messages to five of the seven churches in Asia Minor. That's in the book of Revelation. And correct those areas that apply to us, either individually or corporately. Today, we want to look at the message to the church of Ephesus. And I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 2. God was speaking to this first church, the church in Ephesus. And first thing he does is he tells them what they're doing right. He commends them. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 3. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. These things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Talking about Jesus. And verse 2 said, listen, this is what he said. He says, I know your works and your labor. I know how hard you're working and your patience. And how you cannot bear them that are evil. I know that. And how you have tried them, which says that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored and have not fainted. What does he say? He said, I know you're working hard, church. I know you're working hard. I know whatever role, whatever title you got, whatever responsibility you got, I know you're working hard at it. I know. That Greek word that he used in labor is the word kopos, which means tall to the point of exhaustion. That means they're working really hard. They're almost about to faint, they're working so hard. This church is also commended for its patience or endurance, as well as for its discernment and rejection of false teachers. Amen. Are you with me? These folks were working hard. These were some hard church folks. Don't mind working hard. Maybe came in late in the evening to working hard and doing some things. They were working hard. They were doing it. God is a good God all the time. This church had faithfully served the Lord for more than 40 years since its conception by the Apostle Paul. So they weren't a fly-by-night church or group. Now, when I use the word church, I'm talking universally, all right? All right, what we have here is just an assembly, just a part of the church. This is not the church. Everybody understands that, right? Amen. So when he talks about the church, he's talking about all of us. All of us. So we see a group of people who have been working hard and have been working hard for 40 years. But then he tells them what they've done wrong. In verse 4. He says, nevertheless, even though you've been working hard, nevertheless, even though you've been pulling long hours at your assembly, nevertheless, I have something against you. Why? Because you have left your first love. Amen. Ah, that's what happens a lot of time in our relationships, in our families, or in our marriage. You know, when you, especially in marriage, Every now and then I get a chance to throw in about this marriage stuff without having to have a marriage seminar. But listen, you remember when you first moved toward marriage? Everybody was so happy, you were so happy, you have found the love of your life. Anybody remember that? Amen. Hallelujah. But then life started. And you start being busy, and that other person start being busy, you know? You know, and start having children, start doing a lot of other stuff. Prior to all of this, you know, if you weren't living together, you were calling each other every day. Staying on the phone all kinds of time. But now, come on. Listen, all right? Whenever you saw that person, you want to kiss them. But after a while, the sweet names just float away. After a while, nobody kissed nobody. We don't leave, but we're not who we used to be at the beginning. Things change. Our mind get up on other things. Our personality change. Our focus change. All right? Before, you know, when you get up in the morning, you say, hey, baby, I really love you, you know? But now you say, good morning. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Right? Right? Before you used to grab that person, you kiss them. Now you say, hey, how you doing? It don't mean you hate them. It don't mean you hate them or don't like them or anything. But if you're not careful, you'll lose your first love toward that person. Are you with me? Before, at the beginning, you just look for a time when you can be with them. Now you're just looking for your own time. I'm going to get me a little break. That's what the author is saying here in Revelation. Now, yeah, you're working hard, but you left your first love. Come on now. You left it. Now, listen, this is not a romantic sermon. But for those of you that are married, especially the men, I'd advise you to go back to step one. Wake up in the morning and say, can I have a kiss? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Accidentally roll your hand over and see if you can feel something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Time to go back to our first love. Go back to your first love. Can I do that for you, baby? Now we say, you got it. Lord, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. So Jesus told them the first few verses what they did right. So yeah, you're working hard, but you're missing something here. In verse 4, this is what he says. Nevertheless, I've got something against you because you have left your first love. You see, most of the Ephesian Christians were now second generation believers. They weren't the original ones. Now they're the next generations. They're the next generations. See, that first generation worked hard, but they put God first. They loved God. They got up in the morning worshiping God. Are you with me? They didn't go to the left or the right without going to God and just appealing to God. But now we got this second generation that's still working hard, but they've left their first love. Hallelujah. You know what? I got into this and I'm saying, well, that tells us something. If we're rearing people and guiding them toward life, especially in their childhood, we need to make absolutely sure what's their first love. We worry about them going to school and having clothes, come on now, and eating, but we need to make sure that they have a first love for God. Amen. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. This was the second generation that he was talking to. And though they retained their sound doctrine and their faithful service, it had all become mechanical and routine. They weren't doing what they were doing because they loved God. And how easy it is to do that. How easy it is to just get saved and get into a local assembly and just find something to do or whatever, and just do that just because it needs to be done. Not because you love God. Not because you're trying to please God. Not because you're doing what God has led you to do, not what you wanted to do. We've had people a lot of times say, well, you know, I'm tired doing this. I can't do. It's not about you being tired. What is God telling you to do? And when you have that first love for God, then that's going to be your priority. God is a good God all the time, folks. All the time. Hallelujah. Most of I said they were second generation of believers. And I said that everything now has become mechanical and routine to them. And it's easy to get that way. They had begun to have worship service without love for God. Without love for God. It looked good. It feels good in a sense. It feels like you're doing what you're supposed to do, but why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Because of your love for God? Or because you just want to do right, do right in other people's eyes or whatever? I don't know. That's what he was saying here. Love in itself, brothers and sisters, is important. And it's the same thing with that marriage thing. You know, love. Show that love. Show that love. Show that love. Show that love. Go back to saying, baby, let me do this for you. Baby, can I hold your hand? Baby, can I walk with you? Come on. Go back to your first love. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. That's all God wants. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 as he talks about love. Very familiar passage. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, this word charity in the King James Version is the same word as love. He says, I am become, if I do this and I don't have no love, I'll become as a sounding brass, just making noise, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, in all knowledge, I got all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could really remove mountains if I wanted to, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. God says, search yourself. See if you've lost your first love. Amen? See if you lost your first love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for the husband and wives, once again, now, you know, just go out of your way to show love. You know, just go out of your way to show love. We get into a routine which is not bad, but showing love does so much more in that relationship. Amen. Baby, what do you want? Baby, how can I please you? Give me a kiss, please. I joke about that, but so many married couples, they just stop kissing. They just stop kissing. They're not mad at each other or anything, but they change their routine. Act like you're in love. We're so afraid of the other person hurting us. Hallelujah. Let me get back to my message. Hallelujah. Loving God is the number one thing you can do as a Christian. I told you before, we don't need to show people how smart we are or what we can accomplish or how spiritual we are. Love God. To all you want to do is please God. You please God, you're going to please me. Amen. You please God, you're going to please the one you're living with. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Yes, he is. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38 says, listen, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Married couples, isn't this what you want from the other person? Yeah. This is Jesus talking. This is the first and great commandment. Let me read that again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Let me tell you something. Some people love the structure of their local church more than they love God. I don't know if everybody understands that. But it's all about God and your love for God. Have you made someone or someone else your first love? Make God your first love. Make God your first love. And for once again, for those that are married, make your spouse your second great love. Are you with me? If you make God your first love, I know what God wants you to do toward that spouse. I already know what he wants you to do. So if you make God your first love, you're going to do what he wants you to do. Hallelujah. Which is show the love for that spouse that he's given you. Oh, man, God is something else. Are you just going through the religious motion of attending worship services but not really worshiping God at all? We, as a culture, we have come to the place where we go to a building on Sunday to see a great show. To have somebody make us feel good. Come on now. This is not a show. We come here to worship God. Amen. We come to worship God. Amen. Not any of our leaders or anything. We come to worship God. Amen. With all our heart and all our mind. Isn't God good all the time? Are you attending the Bible studies just for information but not really searching for God's way of life to apply to your life? That's what it's all about. That's what Bible study is all about. How can I change? What do I need to change so that I could be more pleasing to God? Have you made up your mind that you're going to do things your way no matter what? Too many of God's people have lost their first love. I hope it's not you. And if you're slipping and going the other way and not giving God the priority that he needs to have, I would encourage you to get back in line with God. Because let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about pleasing nobody else. You please God. You please God. Now, sometimes people say they're pleasing God, but they're really doing their own thing. They're really doing your own thing. Let me give you an example. Listen. Now, God's already told husband and wife right there. I am again with that husband and wife. Hallelujah. But listen, God has told husband and wives their basic roles. He says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church enough to die for it. And then he tells the wife to submit. 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 Just submit. You know, just do that. I've been in places, I've been in churches, and I remember one lady in particular. You know, her husband wasn't saved. Her husband wasn't saved, but he just had an issue. She was just loyal to this particular local church. And the husband said, well, look, I'm just not comfortable. I go with you, but I'm just not comfortable with this. And the lady said, no, she said, I will leave you before I leave that church. Now, I didn't know all that I know now, but I know something was wrong here. Amen. God is not telling you to do that. Are you with me? Amen. God is not telling you to do that. Amen. So she had created her own righteousness. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. If God wants you to go to a particular local assembly, if he told you to go there, he's going to work everything else out, including your relationship with your spouse. He's going to do that. He's going to do that. Believe me. And we've got to have enough trust in God to believe that he would just do that. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. We got to constantly ask ourselves, have I lost my first love? Look at somebody and ask them that question. Have you lost your first love? And then so God told him what he was doing right, and he told him what he was doing wrong. But then he told him what to do with the problem, about the problem. And I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. And this is what he tells them to do. He says, remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent. And do the first works, as we've been talking about. Go back to where you were originally. Or else I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So he tells us to do several things. First of all, he says, remember. Remember. Psalms 105, verse 5 says this. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember. Remember. And for those of you that are married, remember what those first days was like. Remember. Amen. Remember. Remember. Amen. I know they was fun. I know they was delightful. I know they were. I know you were happy. I know you were joyful. I know you were. So he says, remember that. And then he tells them to repent. The Lord wanted the Ephesians to simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. When you realize that you're going in a different direction, you need to be able to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's all you got to do. Lord, I'm sorry. Then he told them to return. Return. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 talks about that. He tells us how. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Return. Return. Return to what, preacher? Return to original fellowship with God. How do I do that? Go to Bible study. Start studying your Bible. Get in that word. Act like that Bible is important. Act like it. If you took on a new job, and you didn't really understand all the principles of the job, and they gave you a 200-page manual, said, study this manual, and you can have the job, I know what you would do. You study that book like nothing else. God only gave us this one book. It's got what we call books in it, but it's only one book with 66 different divisions in it. Study that book. Pray. Prayers will do wonder for whatever situation you're in. Prayer. Prayer. Commit yourself to praying. Hallelujah. Commit yourself to praying, not just one time a day, but several times a day, as often as you can. You need directions from God, so pray. And the last thing we need to do is fellowship with other Christians who have not left their first love. Fellowship with Christians. Come on. Hallelujah. And I was talking about that marriage thing. Listen, if you're hanging with people that are always complaining about their marriage, hallelujah, that thing going to get in you.
Amen.
It's going to get in you. Mm-hmm. You want to rejuvenate your marriage? Hallelujah. Find somebody that just got married. Because I know what they're talking about. They're talking about their sweet husband and their sweet wives. They're talking about how glad they are that they got married to that individual. God is a good God all the time. And then in the scripture, Jesus confirms. He gives them some support. And I'm going to take you to verse 7 here with that. In verse 7 of Revelation chapter 2, he ends it like this. He says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life." What is he saying here? Listen, if you do the thing the way I want you to do it, you're going to be blessed beyond all measures. All measures. Oh, we can laugh about it now. You're going to get blessed beyond your wildest imagination. Then he says, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brothers and sisters, it's time to put God first. Put him first. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. And when he speaks to you, follow the peace. Make him number one. You know when God is not number one. For many of us, our job is number one. Our job, we get so wore out on our job. Listen, hallelujah. We get so wore out on our job. Listen, we don't have time for God. We don't have time for our spouse. We don't have time for other people that have a close relationship with us. Put God first. You put him first, he'll give you energy for that job. He'll give you energy for that spouse. He'll give you energy for that family. Put God first. How can you say you put God first? You never even get in the word. Never. Never. And like I said, with our electronic economy now, nobody brings a Bible. I'm saying nobody, it's just generic. People don't bring Bibles, even though it's on their phones. A lot of them don't even look at the Bible on their phone. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe we ought to stop putting it on the screen. I don't know. Somebody said, no, don't do that. But everybody understand what we're saying today?
Amen.
Make God first. That's the only reason we're here. That's the only reason we're here. That's the only reason we're here. Only reason we're here is to do the will of God. Anything else is just a deception. God don't mind us having nice things. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. I was talking to Sister Eva this morning as we were talking about the sermon today. And what it came to my mind is a lot of young people in our culture that have finished high school. A lot of them go to college after high school. Listen, but when they get there, they forget what they're there for. They start partying. You know what I'm talking about? They start having fun. No, they don't study. Some of them don't halfway go to classes. They're just there because the money is provided somehow, and they're just there. They say, now I'm grown. Hallelujah. And they don't do what they're supposed to do. Now, you know that's crazy. You know that's foolish. If they were in their right mind, they would remind themselves of why they are there, and they will put the majority of their time in preparing to be successful. There's nothing wrong with having a good time sometime. But a good time can't be your life. Are you with me? And nowadays, let me tell you something. College is so expensive. And you're paying all that money out just so you can go and have a good time. Barely passing, if you're passing at all, that don't make no sense. Well, that's the same thing. God sent us here for a purpose. And you will not know what that purpose is until you put God first. You won't. You've got to spend some time with him. You've got to want to spend time with him. Now, I understand. God understands. You know, as you develop habits that don't line up with the will of God, it don't have to be the drinking and all that crazy stuff, but it could just be some other habits that takes you away from God. God knows that when we get in those habits got to be broken. But somebody's got to tell us to put God first. Hallelujah. 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 You say, I know you're crazy now. Yeah, hallelujah. You know what came to my mind? Listen, even in your marriage, if things are not going right, if things are not going right, all you've got to do is put God first. God going to tell you step by step what to do. But we want to be in control. Now, I can fix this. No, you're going to mess it up. Put God first. You want promotion on your job? Put God first. You want your marriage to get better? Put God first. You want your children to act right? Put God first. That's the secret. That's the secret. But you know and I know our culture has really gotten, we got a lot of religious activity going on. But as far as people putting God first in their life, it's not a lot of people doing that. They're so focused on trying to control the situation. You can't control it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a situation. You've got to give it to God. Hallelujah. 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 My mind, I'm thinking about an irritant, maybe unsaved husband, you know, start talking crazy to his wife, and she's saved. Let me tell you something. And he's trying to argue with her and stuff, and here she is. Listen, she's just being quiet. In her mind, she's talking to God. She hearing God. She ain't answering back. She ain't fussing back. Are you with me? She's just waiting for God to tell her what to say, tell her what to do. Come on. She don't feel like she's got to get the last word in there. Come on now. She's just rocking and getting with God. And that foolish man is just talking. He's just talking. And I know what he's going to say. Pretty soon he's going to say, what's wrong with you? See, because the devil's controlling him. Hallelujah. But you put God first, and that situation's got to turn around. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how we've gotten off the wagon. It doesn't matter how we have really put God behind. What matters now is what we're going to do next. If we're going to repent, if that's you, if we're going to repent and ask God to forgive us for putting him on the backside, you know, or are we going to just keep doing our own thing? Hallelujah. Have you lost your first love? Have you lost your first love? Hallelujah. 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 You know, God, every now and then have me seem like every Sunday say something about this marriage stuff. But listen to me. What God has just spoken in my heart just now, he said, listen, every marriage in here, hallelujah, is going to bring him pleasure. Every marriage with any kind of problem, any kind, is going to get fixed. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody's going to lose their spouse. Nobody, 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 nobody's marriage is going to get worse and worse and worse. Nobody, 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 nobody. Hallelujah. People are going to be coming to you saying, what must I do to get my situation better? And your answer to them, put God first. God is a good God. Why don't you stand all over the building? God is a good God all the time. Put God first.